this lesson, we're going to take a look at what Nolan and Heap observed about the different patterns of hazard rates for different kinds of equipment, and then apply a little bit of logic to how do we set up a preventative maintenance schedule that appropriately addresses and responds to the type of hazards that we're seeing as time goes by for our equipment. The basic idea is that we need some data. It's not just make some assumptions or open the manual and follow the schedule provided, but we want to actually materially change the operating probability of downtime, the failure rate essentially for our system, by doing appropriate preventative maintenance when it makes sense to actually reduce the failure rate. So in order to do that, we need to take a look at some data. And TTF is time to failure. So collect the data. You probably already have it, as every time some system or some part of your system went down, say for a motor or for a gearbox or for a sensor or whatever it happens to be, is then take a look at that data and look at those patterns of in a hazard plot, in a hazard function. A convenient way to do this is plot it in a Weibull, fit it to a Weibull distribution, and plot the hazard function. And if you see a decreasing hazard function, it's one pattern, or an increasing hazard rate with time, it gives us completely different directions of which way we go with our preventative maintenance. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we also need some data that deals with, well, what's the effect? You know, is this a safety issue and that we have a less tolerance of a failure actually occurring? So we may want to create a preventative maintenance program that's a bit more cautious, and maybe it trades off the investment in preventative maintenance for the significant reduction in probability of failure. But more likely, it's what's the cost of failure? What's the cost of downtime, of getting the maintenance actually done when it's corrective maintenance? Especially if it takes your whole line down, it affects production, it may affect your strategy for warehousing components, it may affect all kinds of different things that would tally into the cost. But it's also, it costs money to do preventative maintenance, to replace a working element of your system, say a motor that's been working fine for 4 years, but did we replace it based on the information of the time to failure is that maybe it's about to fail, or that we have a higher probability of it failing. But there's still an investment of taking out a serviceable motor and replacing it. But it's balanced with what's the cost of an unscheduled failure. And so those are kinds of data that we need in order to make these decisions. And so there's a variety of different bits and pieces of information, and highly dependent on what your particular system is. But the idea is understand the pattern of the hazard rate, and then what's the cost of implementing preventative maintenance, and what's the cost of downtime when we have to do corrective maintenance? What's the impact of doing that? Now, in general, the cost of downtime is far outstrips the cost of preventative maintenance, but there is a balance point. And so using the idea that it's an investment, well, what is my return on that investment? What's the effect of reducing the number of corrective maintenances? Really what we're after. Well, let's look at some patterns and what the basic approaches and thought processes as you're thinking through what to perform preventative maintenance on, and more importantly, how often. So the first one is looking at a pattern that we commonly call infant mortality or early life failures, and that we have a decreasing hazard rate. So the longer it runs, the less likely it has a chance, less likely it is to fail. There's a number of different reasons for that. We've talked about those in previous lessons. But the idea here is that if I replace this, say, motor or gearbox at, say, whatever this interval is, let's call it X, I end up restarting that with a system that's going to follow the same decreasing failure rate. But the net effect is I increase the failure rate. And that should be pretty obvious that if we have a decreasing hazard rate, we just wait for it to fail or for the timeline to change such that either it's an increasing failure rate or some other phenomena starts to occur. But the basic idea is that if you have a decreasing failure rate, don't touch it, let it run. It's actually every hour it runs, it has a lower chance of failure. And it's kind of like doing preventative maintenance automatically, and don't want to mess with that. It does occur. It's not terribly common, but you've probably heard of equipment that has a break-in period, or it gets worn in and it runs smoother over time. Well, those are indications that you probably have a decreasing hazard rate. We'll collect the data and determine that for sure. Another one that happens, and this one happens more often because of simple assumptions. We collect, say, the number of failures over a year's worth of operation, and just doing the simple ratio, we get a hazard rate. We get a MTBF value, for lack of a better term. And it's going to appear as just a straight line over time, as we just took the average and applied it over all of that time. Now, in practice, there's very, very few things that actually have a change in failure rate over any time that I'm interested in that's so small that I would consider it constant. It can happen, and I'm sure it does happen on occasion, but in my experience, it's either a decreasing failure rate or an increasing failure rate, and making the assumption or doing the calculations such that you only get a single hazard rate value is generally masking the type of information you're really looking for. So do the Weibull analysis or do the plotting such that you can see the changing hazard rate with time. And if it is very small or essentially constant, well, then it dictates the type of preventative maintenance to do. Now, in this case, if I replace it at, say, time X with a similar system, I'll get a similar hazard rate. So there's no benefit to the investment in fixing something. If it truly is a constant hazard rate, well, wait for it to fail, much like the decreasing hazard rate, and affect your repairs then. If there's not a difference in change or a change in the chance of it failing, there's no appropriate time of which to do a repair. If there is a need to replace it, then there's probably something that is changing its chance to fail and increasing it, which is really the third method, which is only the only one that I know of that's useful for doing preventative maintenance. And that's where I have a failure rate that goes along and then eventually wears out. Bearings are classic for this. With use, they will wear, and the grease or lubricants that they're in will break down, and eventually the metal itself will start to wear and fail, increasing the amount of vibration or eventually seize and not be able to provide the function of a bearing set to your system. Now, in this case, it's, again, I hope relatively obvious that at some point, let's say at time X, we change out the bearing and it'll start this new wear out mechanism over time. But what we do is we take, that next interval of time and significantly reduce the failure rate. Now, you may think, and I think you would be correct, that if after every cycle, every operation, when the failure rate is increased, say, by some nominal amount, we did a repair, and we'd end up with this little sawtooth pattern for the hazard rate. But the net effect is it would be relatively low, as opposed to waiting for it to get up to a higher point where my average is much higher. So what stops us from doing that is that it takes time to effect that repair and an investment of time and parts and resources to make that happen. So it's finding that balance point. What's an acceptable range of hazard rates or failure rates such that the chance of failure and the cost of that failure multiplied together is going to be just about the same as the cost of the replacements. And if I'm doing it as an investment, it might have to be 10 times the cost. So I do 10 repairs, but I end up with essentially minimizing my hazard rate and avoiding the cost of the downtimes. And so that's where some of this trade-off comes in. The basic idea is that if the hazard rate or the chance of failure is increasing, at some point it makes sense to repair or replace that equipment. And even with the investment in parts and labor and time to actually do the repair. The added benefit is that you can probably schedule it when you're not actively running the system, when you have a scheduled downtime, for example. If that's possible, they further create some savings from your system. Now, there's a couple of models that talk about this, and they're both pretty common sense. But this one's really just where there's a function that's relating what's my cost of downtime, and then how often I see failures. So Weibull's scale parameter is a duration, and the location parameter is also a distance or time type of function. But M here is going to be that function that takes into, is it an increasing failure rate or not? And so there's some cases where we can balance this off, and what we're looking for is to minimize our total cost. The other way, much more direct, I think more intuitive, is O'Connor's method, where you add up the cost of doing the maintenance, the preventative maintenance, and then you add up the cost of what happens when you have a failure, a unscheduled failure or downing event. And then you increase your preventative maintenance costs with the idea that it decreases your unscheduled costs, minimizing your total corrective maintenance or your total cost of maintenance. And that's the basic concept. The simple formula is you need some decent data in order to find these optimum values. So it's pretty easy to determine that you need to do this given the different patterns. It takes a little bit more work in dealing with the costs involved with doing maintenance and or with doing corrective maintenance when a line goes down, to find that right balance. And at some point in there is also, what's the ROI criteria? Do we need a 10x return on the investment or some other value? What's the value of the investment? So this may involve working with some finance folks and with your plant management team and with decision makers to find out what's an acceptable use of an investment in preventative maintenance. In the next section, we'll take a look at corrective maintenance and some of the analysis that goes into that.